Ever since Adam and Eve were evicted from the Garden of Eden, political philosophers, theologians, and artists have dreamed of an eventual golden age when righteousness and peace would prevail. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that a new world is coming when all man-caused problems and imbalances will be history. Dr. David Jeremiah gives biblical details concerning the ultimate new world order God is creating for us as David continues his series, The Coming Economic Armageddon. Now here's David with more on today's message.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We do begin a new month together today, but we're still in the middle of this series we've called The Coming Economic Armageddon. Actually, we have the rest of this week to finish that out. And today we're going to talk about God's ultimate new world order. Will there ever be a time on this earth when one man will be in charge, one person in charge, and all will be well? There will only be one time like that, and that's when Jesus Christ returns to set his kingdom up on this earth. That will be God's ultimate new world order. And much of the information about that is recorded for us in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, where we shall turn in a few moments as we begin our time together here on Turning Point. As we begin a new month, I always like to tell you about the new resource. As we conclude our study on the coming economic Armageddon at the end of this week, we will begin next Monday a study on angels, what the Bible has to say about angels, and we would like to make the book by that title available to you as our gift during the month of November. All you have to do is send a gift to Turning Point in November and ask for your copy of the book. This paperback book will take you through all the material that we talk about on the air, and we're going to ask the question, who are they and how can they help us? And we'll tell you what the Bible says about it in the book and in the series. So when you send your gift to Turning Point today, November 1st, ask for your copy of the book. The book is simply called Angels. Well, we have been cycling our way through all this information about how this financial thread ties all these things together in the future. We're going to continue that today right here on this program as we talk about God's ultimate new world order.
Finally, I figured out how to pay my taxes ahead so that I would have a refund. And when my refund came from the state of California, it was an IOU. I barely recovered from that. And then, along with the rest of you, I discovered that the state of California has decided to take more out of my taxes to keep the government from going bankrupt. And I don't remember voting on that. Do you? Isn't it interesting, these days in which we live, where we make our money and the government figures out some way to take it away from us? But that's just the state of California. What about the $2.5 trillion generated by the citizens of our nation in the tax base we call the IRS? How are we spending these tax dollars? Defense and security gets 21%, Social Security gets 21%, safety net programs get 11%, we pay 8% of it on interest alone on our debt. Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP get 20%, and the rest is 20%. Now, if you look at that, it probably doesn't surprise anybody that that's what's happening, but let me put it in more serious terms today and remind you of how much of what happens in our country and in our lives and in our world is really controlled by mammon, by money. For instance, in 2008, more than 21% of the federal tax funds went to provide for our common defense and international security. Now, that number turns out to be just a little over $625 billion. Did you know that there is a time coming in the future when such tax issues will be a thing of the past? For instance, in God's ultimate new world order, there will be no war. Isaiah, Joel, and Micah tell us that when the Lord reigns over this earth, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So you don't need that 21% that goes to defense and security. Almost equal to the cost of war and national security is the $617 billion that our government spends each year for Social Security, paying 35 million retired workers along with survivor's benefits for 6.4 million children and spouses. But once again, there's coming a new world order. And if you read the Psalms, in one of the Psalms, Solomon fast forwards to the ultimate dominion of King Jesus. And he says that the king, during the ultimate new world order, will save the children of the needy. He will deliver the needy when he cries. The poor also, and him who has no helper. He will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression, and precious will be their blood in his sight. In the millennium, in the new world order, we will not need all of the Social Security benefits because King Jesus will just take care of everybody. What about the $599 billion in federally subsidized health insurance programs? And I promise not to stay on that too long because just the mention of it makes me angry. What about Medicare and Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program? What it would be like if somehow we got rid of all sickness? What would it be like if there was no health benefit to pay? Isaiah helps us get our arms around such a hard-to-believe concept in the future day when he says, "And the inhabitant will not say, 'I am sick.' And the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the tongues of the dumb will sing." In that ultimate new world order, when Jesus rules and reigns upon the earth, the health benefit program will be simply that Jesus will heal people and make them well. Still another $313 billion of our money went to assist the poor and the moderate income families of our nation. But when the ultimate new world order arrives, it will usher in a world in which no citizen will ever be hungry, no citizen will ever be oppressed. Here again are the words of Solomon and Isaiah. God will judge the poor with justice. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will break in pieces the oppressor. With righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The Bible tells us that an age is coming. We might call it a golden age. And it's introduced to us in Revelation chapter 20. It is known as the millennium. Say that, the millennium. Now let me tell you what the millennium is. It's not the length of time you think your pastor preaches every Sunday. The millennium is a word that is made up of two Latin words, mille, which means a thousand, and annum, which means a year. So millennium means a thousand years. Now there's only one place in the Bible where we find a thousand years mentioned as a period of time in which God does a special work, and that's right here in Revelation chapter 20. The 20th chapter of Revelation mentions a thousand years six different times. The fact of the matter is, Revelation chapter 20 tells us how long it will last, but the rest of the Bible is filled with truth about what's going to happen during that ultimate new world order when Jesus Christ is the king over all the world. Dwight Pentecost, who was one of my teachers at Dallas Seminary and has spent his whole life devoting himself to the study of prophecy, said that of all the subjects in the Bible, if you add all the details that are mentioned, there's more information in the Bible about the millennium than any other subject in the whole Bible. Now, here in Revelation 20, to which you have opened, we learn some things about this period of time. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 2 of Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to emphasize every time the word thousand years happens, and so you help me with that. Every time we get to the word thousand years, let's say it out loud together. All right, here we go. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for a thousand years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the thousand years were finished. And they lived and reigned with Christ for a thousand years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the thousand years were finished. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him a thousand years. And when the thousand years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Now, men and women, why in the plan of Almighty God does he put this 10-century period of time on the believer's map? Remember now how this fits into everything we have been learning. We are now living in what most theologians call the age of grace. How many of you know that if it weren't the age of grace, it would already have ended? Because Almighty God has extended grace to us, and still men and women are being offered the opportunity to become a Christian in the age of grace. And then following the age of grace, immediately we know comes the rapture of the church, when all of God's people are taken to heaven to be with Him, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and John chapter 14. And after the church is raptured, as we have been learning, there is a period of time on the earth called the tribulation that lasts for 7 years. At the end of the tribulation, there is a battle called the Battle of Armageddon, and the earth is purged from its evil, and all of the rebels are put down, and King Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom on this earth. Now listen, the bad days are for 7 years, the good days are for 1,000 years. Isn't that good news? The bad days during the tribulation, we will not be here. We will have gone to heaven to be with the Lord. But at the end of the 7 years, as you know, the Bible says He's going to come back to defeat all of the enemies, and we are going to come back with Him. And we are going to establish with King Jesus the reign over this world, which is called the millennium. It will be an incredible time. For 1,000 years, for 10 centuries, Jesus Christ will rule and reign with absolute, total authority over the whole world. And as we're going to discover a little bit later, we will be with Him in that adventure. Now, why does He come back? And why does He set this up? Well, the Bible tells us certain things that are going to happen when He comes back. Right there in Revelation chapter 20, we are told that when Jesus comes back, the first thing He's going to do is to remove Satan from the earth. Can I get a witness? To remove Satan from the earth. What an incredible thing that will be. The binding of Satan, this arch enemy of God and man, is the first notable event of the millennium. And John tells us in Revelation 20, and I love this passage because it gives Satan every name he deserves. And that dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, will be bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit and shut up, and a seal set on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. When Jesus sets up His kingdom on this earth, He's going to put Satan in jail, in the bottomless pit, and he can't get out and he can't do any damage. Dr. Ironside said, there's coming a day when men will no longer be deceived and led astray by the great tempter who, ever since his victory over our first parents in Eden, has been the persistent and malignant foe of mankind. Now you say, well, won't there be sin in the millennium? Yes, there will be. You say, well, how is that going to be if everybody who goes into the millennium will be a Christian? Jews and Gentiles alike, followers of Christ. Well, how long is the millennium? And so these people are going to have kids. How many of you know God doesn't have any grandchildren? So there's no guarantee that when these parents who came into the millennium, who are followers of Christ, they're going to have children. And when their children are born and grow up, they're going to have the opportunity to make a choice. And many of them will choose not to follow Christ. So over the length of 10 centuries, evil will be present in the world. But let me tell you something. It won't be the same kind of evil. Nobody during that time will ever be able to say, the devil made me do it. Nobody will ever be able to say that because Satan's locked up in prison. So if you sin during the millennial period, it won't be because of deception. It will be just because of the evil nature of your own heart. The millennium takes an excuse away from those who rebel against God. They can't blame Satan for it anymore. He's gone. He's locked up. He's rendered inoperative for a... That's right, for 1,000 years. So when Jesus comes back, the Bible says He's going to put Satan aside, and we'll understand more about that as we go along. Then the next thing He's going to do is He's going to reward the people of God. So what is that all about? Well, it says in Isaiah 40:10, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and his work before him. Matthew says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord. And here's Revelation 22:12 telling us, Jesus is speaking, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. Now listen up. During this 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, which is known biblically as the millennium, which we have called God's ultimate new world order, the Bible tells us that those who come back with Christ, those who have followed Christ, those who are coming back with the Lord in the second advent and defeat Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, we're going to go into this millennial period with him, and we're going to be rewarded as a part of what we have done for King Jesus. You say, how are we going to be rewarded? And why should we want to be rewarded in the first place? You know, I've come to the conclusion that the reason why many people don't have much motivation to serve Jesus Christ today is because they have this false assumption about rewards. It's no wonder we're unmotivated to follow God. I mean, we flatter ourselves and we insult God when we say, I don't care about rewards. As if we have the right not to care about something God cares about and has graciously promised to those who will obey him. The Bible says that God is going to reward us for serving him. And part of that reward is going to happen during the millennial period. Let me give you some other scriptures that will help. Revelation 24 says, and they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. In the parable of the talents in the New Testament, Jesus taught that our role as servants and rulers will be based upon our faithfulness. Listen to this text when we read, and his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now listen carefully. In the millennium, we are going to reign with Christ. Every Christ follower, everyone who's put their trust in Jesus Christ, is going to come back to this earth for that 10-century period of time. And Jesus is going to set up his total government, and it's going to be run by the followers of Christ. We're all going to have a part in it. It says we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, one of the reasons why we don't have excitement about this as we should is because we have this false idea of service. And we've done this in the church to many of you. I apologize for all the pastors who've gone before me and for myself. We've made service to Jesus Christ sound like it was some kind of a punishment. You know, come and help us for a year and then we'll let you off the hook. No, no, no. Service is not a punishment. That idea is foreign. It's only people who dislike work and who are just waiting for retirement who think that way. We think that our work should be rewarded by a vacation for the rest of our lives. But God offers us something very different. You know what it is? More work, more opportunities, more responsibilities, increased privileges, along with greater abilities and resources and wisdom and empowerment. We will have sharp minds and strong bodies and clear purpose and unabated joy. And the more we serve Christ now, the greater will be our capacity to serve him in heaven. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Everybody who is a Christian is going to have a job in the millennium. And your job will be based upon how you serve Jesus Christ in the here and now. So let me ask you this question. Based upon what you know of your service for Jesus Christ, what do you think your job will be in the millennium? Just think about that for a moment. What job would you like to have in the millennium? Where would you like to serve? I have to believe there won't be a Congress, because God's going to take care of that problem right along the way. So other than the Congress, what job would you like to have? Well, you say, maybe I'd like to be a big lawyer. I don't think there are going to be any lawyers in the millennium, because Jesus... Now, wait a minute. This is based on biblical truth here. And if you're a lawyer, if you get a job in the millennium, it'll be much better than the one you've had. I promise you that. But Jesus is going to rule with the rod of iron. There won't be any court procedures. And we'll come to that in a moment. So one of the reasons Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom for that 1,000 years is so that you and I can find out what it will be like to work within a governmental system where we have a perfect leader who never makes a bad judgment, never makes a false decision, always is fair, always is just, sees not only what people do, but the motives behind their doing it, and reigns and rules in justice and righteousness, and we'll get to help him. Wow. Don't send me on a vacation. I want to be a part of the first day of that stuff. He's coming back to reward his people. Thirdly, he's coming back to respond to the prophet's predictions. I've already told you that there's more information in the Bible about the millennium than perhaps any other subject. And in all that information are a lot of prophecies by the prophets. Amos and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and all of these prophets. They've said a great deal about this period of time. So there's got to be a millennium because they prophesied it. Jesus coming back to fulfill all their predictions. These prophecies refer primarily to the nation of Israel, but they also have a great deal to do with the Gentiles, and only the millennium will fulfill these prophecies. Let me just give you a few of them so you can understand what I mean. Psalm 72:11. Yes, all kings will fall down before Christ. All nations will serve him. Let me ask you a question. Has that ever happened? No. Isaiah 9:6 is often associated with Christmas, and the first part of it is Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But then the rest of it doesn't have to do with his birth. 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9:6 is about the first coming of Christ. Isaiah 9:7 is about the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes back to set up his rule on this earth. Has that ever happened? Has the part of Isaiah 9:7 ever been played? Absolutely not. What about Zechariah 9:10? His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. That's never happened. Luke 1:32 and 33, in the narrative of Christmas, we read, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That has never happened in the history of the world, because it's going to happen in the ultimate new world order. And one of the reasons Jesus is coming back to do that is to make sure that every jot and tittle of all of those prophecies come true in absolute fulfillment. He's coming back to fulfill the prophecies of the prophets.
Well, that's just some of the information about God's ultimate new world order. We'll finish that up tomorrow here on Turning Point as we conclude this discussion from the book of Revelation and other selected scriptures. We are so excited. This is a very important week in the history of our nation, in the ongoing concerns everybody has about our nation. As you know, tomorrow is Election Day. And this coming Thursday, the 4th of November, we will actually be in Washington, D.C. for our rally there, our fall rally in Washington, D.C. will be Thursday, November the 4th. That's this Thursday. We'll be at the Verizon Center at 7 p.m. We have a wonderful pastor's breakfast that morning at 8 o'clock, also at the Verizon Center. And let me just tell you, time is growing short, and if you haven't ordered tickets for the rally or for the breakfast, there's still time for you to do it, and you can pick your tickets up at the event. But you don't want to wait much longer. It's very confusing back here now with all the activity. This is going to be a big event with lots of people coming. We would love for you to be there with us. And so go to our website, davidjeremiah.org/rallies. Order your tickets for the event. We will hold them for you at will call, and you can come and share with us in these two events, both the pastor's breakfast and also the event that night as we gather in the Verizon Center. We also want to remind you as we conclude today's program that our brand new resource for the month of November is the book Angels, a book that I wrote several years ago that's been updated, answering the questions, who are angels and how do they help us, and what the Bible reveals about this phenomenon that so many people talk about in our culture today. This paperback book is yours for the asking when you send your gift to Turning Point during the month of November. We're excited to be with you today. We look forward to seeing you here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like more information about Dr. Jeremiah's new series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, look for two great ways to stay connected to Turning Point. You can sign up for your free copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, or Daily Turning Point, our daily e-devotional. Sign up today by visiting us at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. That's 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, Angels. In this book, Dr. David Jeremiah uses Scripture to unveil the remarkable truths about these agents of heaven and their role and work in our world. Be prepared to find out some truly amazing facts about these heavenly beings. Just call or visit our website today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue The Coming Economic Armageddon here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.